This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء والمرسلين سيدنا محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم وعلى آله وصحبه وبارك وسلم. My respected shuyukh, my beloved brothers and sisters and children, Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi ta'ala wa barakatuh. Once again, welcome to the Islamic Institute of Toronto on this blessed day of Jummah. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accept our prayers and our supplications on this day, inshallah. A few very quick announcements. Number one, I just wanted to remind you that we have our annual winter dinner on Monday, December 25th, right across here at the Scarborough Convention Center. Tickets are going very fast, so if you have not purchased your tickets as yet, we have very limited physical tickets left, but also the online portal is still open. When we reach capacity, we will have to close this. So very close now. We don't have a lot of spaces left. If you have not purchased the tickets for the winter dinner, and I encourage you to do so, please do so, inshallah, as early as possible. We will be having our shuyukh, our four shuyukh, Sheikh Abdul Hamid, Sheikh Ahmed Kuti, Dr. Abdullah Hakim Quick, and Sheikh Musli Khan. They will headline the event, inshallah. And we will also have some entertainment by our Qari, Abdul Fattah, Jahidar, and his brothers. And we have a parallel children's program also. So we encourage all of you to attend. I would like to ask the volunteers to go through the lines, inshallah. Please donate generously. Also, we have the food sale that is happening today. Please ensure that before you leave, you purchase a box of food, biryani or shawarma or Popeyes, and inshallah, you can enjoy that with your family. I want to thank all of you, our brothers and sisters, for your support to the Islamic Institute of Toronto over the year. Alhamdulillah, we have been able to do a lot. We can do much more. But I want to also remind you that the issue with our brothers and sisters in Gaza is continuing. The bombardment is continuing. The decimation of the people and the population of Gaza is continuing. We have to keep our voices up. There are a number of things that we can do, including sending postcards to the MPs and to the Prime Minister. We have some postcards on the in the lobby. You can pick up one, you can write your name, and you can send it without any postage required. So I encourage you to do that. I also encourage you to do as much as you can, in whatever way you can, to help ease their suffering. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bless them and accept their shuhada. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant them ease from the persecution that they're facing. Our khatib today is Sheikh Musli Khan.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله أشهد أن لا الله
أشهد أن محمد رسول الله أشهد أن محمد رسول الله الصلاة
الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا من يهده الله فهو المهتد ومن يضلل فلن تجد له وليا مرشدا وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدًا عبده ورسوله صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وأصحابه ومن سار على نهجه وما استنى بسنته إلى يوم الدين أما بعد فاتقوا الله أيها الأحباب فقد أمرنا سبحانه وتعالى في تنزيله يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله حق تقاته ولا تموتن إلا وأنتم مسلمون ثم أما بعد My brothers and sisters, in this blessed day and hour of Yawm al-Jum'ah, we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to accept all of us from amongst the righteous in this world and in the Akhirah. Allahumma ameen. For our brothers and sisters who suffer across the globe, and especially in Palestine, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala ease their pain and suffering, and may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give them victory. Allahumma ameen. Ayyuha al-Ahbab, today I want to shift our attention to something a little different. I am reminded years ago of a sister who was a revert. And she came to one of my classes. So I got to know the sister and I got to know a little bit of her story. And she came with a struggle and problem and looking for some answer and direction with this problem. She described that her story started before she was Muslim. She lived a good life. She had stability, good parents, no problems, no stress, good job, you name it. Everything was going just fine. And she developed this thirst or hunger for religion. So she started that journey, and her journey led her to Islam. And she became Muslim. And she described that's when problems began. Listen to the words carefully. She says, that's when my problems began. That her life completely turned and shifted, where everything started to become more difficult. And as she continues to describe her story, she said it was a challenge to to wear the hijab. It was a challenge for her parents to see the wisdom in her choice to become Muslim. It was a challenge just to hold on to the values of Islam, to change what she eats, what she purchases, all of the things that you and I go through on a daily basis as Muslims. And furthermore, she eventually got married. And she married a Muslim. And problems continued to escalate. And that marriage eventually turned into a problem to the extent that the marriage broke. So her story, it sounds like it started off peacefully. But as she came to Islam and towards Allah, things became more difficult. Here is the issue. All of us have a similar story. That once upon a time, we were not as close to Islam as we may have wanted to be. Some of us have stories where once upon a time in our lives that we struggled to do the right thing, but life was somewhat okay. You didn't have none of the stress and problems to deal with. But as you journeyed, as the years continued to increase in your life and mine, you started noticing that the more I practiced and came closer to Allah, it felt like my life was getting more and more stressful. Why? Why is it that it started happening when this journey began? This is a subject we rarely talk about. Lots of Muslims take this for granted. Because usually when somebody says this to you, it's easy to say to them, Allah is testing you to see if you're really sincere. That's why you're going through this. We don't know that. Even the one going through the struggle and asking these questions, they don't know why. The ulama tell us some reasons to think about. And one of those reasons is, perhaps Allah is testing your sincerity. أَيُّكُمْ أَحْسَنُ عَمَلًا. Which one of you is going to perform the purest and most sincere deeds? So perhaps that could be a reason. Or the second reason that our scholars help us think about to understand that when life gets tough, especially when you are working on your faith, getting closer to Allah, life is getting more and more difficult all around, why that could be happening. So they bring our attention to this. Maryam alayhi salam, one of the greatest human beings ever. Maryam alayhi salam grew up and she had a closest to Allah. She had a relationship with Allah. Every time she spoke to Allah, Allah responded to her. She had a very incredible and special relationship with Allah. And as time went on, eventually you and I know the story. Jibreel alayhi salam comes to her, gives her the glad tidings, you're going to have a child. And things unfold the way they do. What ends up happening? Now she's carrying this child, Isa alayhi salam. And she has to now confront her community, who might be saying some pretty awful things if they see her pregnant. Because why? That was not who she was. She didn't have that reputation. She was a woman of purity. She was a woman that people held at a very high level of dignity and respect. So all of that could have been questionable. Why would Allah put her through that? Think about it. She could have easily just said, oh Allah, make all of this easy for me. Just make all of these, the tension, the rumors, let it all go away. Oh Allah, make it easy for me. The same thing with Aisha radiallahu anha. When the scandal broke out, when the rumors started to spread that Aisha radiallahu anha was doing this and doing that, and she had to confront Medina this way. She's the wife of the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And the story goes that she kept herself at home, isolated and secluded from the rest of the community until the rumor died down. Why would Allah put her through that? She's one of the greatest human beings to touch the ground. And if you continue and look at other prophets and messengers and their stories, it always starts off the same way. Musa alayhi salam's story begins when the mother is told, take your son, put him in a basket, فَأَلْقِيهِ فِي الْيَمِّ, then throw the basket in a river. Yamun is one of the names for a river in the Quran. But Yamun is the kind of river that is rough. It never settles. You know how sometimes if you look at a puddle, you'll see like the water is calm? Yamun, it's constantly aggressive, dangerous. It's moving at a high rate. It's the last thing you would think about is jump into water at that point. But that's how his story begins. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is no different. Think about the moment Allah told him, Iqra, what his life became. He had to now confront Mecca and say to them that I am a prophet and this is what you need to do. I came to bring the message of Allah. How did they respond? They started cursing at him. They started making fun of him. They called him every name in the book. They publicly humiliated him. He could have easily said, Subhanallah, this is the price to pay to get closer to Allah. How do we figure this out? What is the answer to all of this? This is what I want to share with you today. To make sense of all the tests and the trials and the struggles of being a Muslim, why does that happen? And there is only one out of many that the scholars give us that I wish to share with you today. Now, go back to their stories. Go back to all these prophets and messengers and their stories. If you notice, there's an interesting pattern. The pattern is that as they began to mature, and Allah began to inspire them, Nuh alayhi salam, Yusuf alayhi salam, Musa alayhi salam, Maryam alayhi salam, all these great men and women had one thing in common. They never lost hope in Allah. They never questioned, why am I going through this? They kept hope and trust with Allah. That's what you and I have to continue to do. I mean, look around. When you see what Islam is in this day and age, how it's talked about, how it's portrayed, what people say about Muslims all across the world, does it look like a religion that's attractive, like this is the religion I'm going for? Most of the time, it's the complete opposite. But the secret amongst the people of Iman is that they have a connection of hope and trust in Allah like no other. Everybody else around us may question it except the people of Iman. Now, where do I get this from? We all know a very famous ayah. When somebody passes away, what do we say? We say, Inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi raji'un. Lots of Muslims don't know what that means exactly. Like, what does that entail? When you say we belong to Allah and to Him is our eventual return, what does that actually mean? Inna lillah, this is another way to understand the trials and tribulations with your relationship with Allah. We belong to Allah. Allah owns us. We don't own ourselves. Everything that we do belongs to Allah. So we have some control, but at the end, whatever choice we make, that outcome is with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Based on our sincerity, our love for the deen, and how much we want to achieve out of this religion, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will make the decision at the end of the day what is best for us. Even when the beginning, it looks pretty intimidating. There's nothing attractive. This path that I'm on is just filled with pain on pain upon pain. I know that I belong to Allah. And I know that to Him I will return. I know that I don't even control myself, so I will do my best to make the right decision, hold on to this faith, and keep moving forward. You know what the result of that was? Now go back to these prophets and messengers. What happened to Maryam alayhi salam? She kept her relationship tight and closeness to Allah. That when Isa alayhi salam was born, Allah honored Maryam alayhi salam through Isa alayhi salam. He is the only prophet in the entire Quran who is honored by his mother, by a parent. No other prophet is talked about this way except Isa alayhi salam. Isa ibn Maryam. Every time you come across his name, Isa the son of Maryam, the son of Maryam. She's being honored through his legacy. Go back to Yusuf alayhi salam. His own brothers, his own siblings. But if you go back to the end now of the surah, Allah honors the Yusuf alayhi salam. He now becomes in charge of everything that goes in and out of Egypt. He eventually is the reason why the father and the rest of the brothers came. They reunited, everyone apologized, and everybody turned their attention back to Allah. Allah created this legacy through all that pain, but the outcome, Allah honored him. The Messenger sallallahu alayhi wasallam. My goodness, look at his journey. From the very beginning, till the very end, till the moment, the day of his death, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Look what he endured. Look what they used to say to him. And it wasn't just verbal. They tried to assassinate him. They humiliated him. They threw awful things to him, threatened his family, his tribe, his community. Everything it seemed like he was near or he touched, it was a problem. But Allah tells us about the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wasallam, you are the seal of all prophets. You are given the greatest honor and the greatest gift of the Quran. You will be the first to enter Jannah, and the rest will follow. You will be the prophet who is the leader of all prophets and messengers. He went through this grind, but Allah honored him at the end. So where is this reminder going? It's simple to say, it's challenging to journey through. And that is, I know, and you all know, that being Muslim is hard. Sometimes the challenge comes from your own family. Just like Yusuf alayhi salam, sometimes the struggle of just being Muslim, the problems is within our own families. And this is not something we're pulling out of nothing. Allah reminded us in Surah At-Taghabun, a verse many of us know, that Allah tells us, يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا إِنَّ مِنْ أَزْوَاجِكُمْ وَأَوْلَادِكُمْ عَدُوًا لَكُمْ فَاحْذَرُوهُمْ. O people of Iman, your spouses, your children, your wealth, they are all enemies to you. What does that mean? It means that there are times where they would be the reason pulling you down, pulling you back. The reason this ayah was revealed is that there was a companion, Auf ibn Malik radiallahu anhu. He migrated from Mecca to Medina, and he wanted to join the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam in one of the battles. But his family and his children said, no, dad, don't go. Stay with us. Why are you going to go? It's a death sentence. You're not going to come back. Why would you do that? Is this what the Prophet's telling you to do? Those kinds of responses. But he held himself together, and he said, no, I want to be with him sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And Allah reveals this verse. Sometimes the people that hold you back could be the people closest to us. And what is Allah teaching us? As long as you keep me the priority and you trust me, look back in history of all of these problems, what was the outcome? Allah still made mountains crush, rivers split, miracles took place. Allah still gave victory to those who held on to La ilaha illallah, Muhammadur Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So with that being said, we'll pause here inshallah and allow yourselves to just reflect and think and pray to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that He keeps us steadfast. Now you can appreciate why Allah says, لَا تَمُوتُنَّ إِلَّا وَأَنْتُمْ مُسْلِمُونَ. Don't die unless you are Muslim. Now I understand. Yes, Ya Rab. Now I know why you're telling me, don't ever allow death to come except that I'm in the state of submission, except that I'm at least be a Muslim, act like a Muslim, and live like a Muslim. That's the bare minimum I need to hold on to. Yes, Ya Rab. We pray that you preserve and protect La ilaha illallah, Muhammadur Rasulullah, in our hearts and in our lives. Allahumma ameen. Aqulu ma tasma'un wa astaghfirullah li wa lakum wa risa'il muslimin min kulli dhanb. Astaghfiru innahu huwal ghafurur rahim. Alhamdulillah. Wa salatu wa salamu ala rasulillah. Alayhi afdalu salah. Wa man wala. Amma ba'd. If you're wondering, what happened to that sister that we began today's reminder about? That sister got married again to a good Muslim man, walillah ilhamd. That sister has children, walillah ilhamd. That sister is sitting here right now in the masjid, walillah ilhamd. You don't know where your journey will end, where Allah is taking you. You don't know, with all the pain, whether it's in your home or elsewhere, why it's happening to you or me. We may not always have those answers, but Allah tells us, hold on, trust me, don't ever think or fathom the idea, لَا تَمُوتُنَّ إِلَّا وَأَنْتُمْ مُسْلِمُونَ. Don't leave this world except that you are in a state of belief and submission to Him, subhanahu wa ta'ala. You do that, بِإِذْنِ اللَّهِ تَعَالَى, we will always see the wisdom through pain and difficulty. We will stop worrying about the future because we know Allah took care of that, and worry as much as we can with the journey. And we will pray and continue to pray and trust Him, Ya Rabbi, whatever your qadr is for me and every one of us, we trust that that qadr is the best for me and others. You will live that life of positivity. You'll be optimistic. And you will always be biiznillahi ta'ala, trust Him subhanahu wa ta'ala. I pray that Allah azza wa jal preserves that in our hearts, in our lives, not just for us, but our sons and daughters. This reminder came also because many of us will have our children at home for the next few days, for the winter break. Take this time and ask your children one question. And this is what I leave you with. Parents, ask your kids one question. Ask them why they are Muslim. If the response is, well, mom, dad, you're Muslim, so that's why I'm Muslim, that means there's some work to do. There's some work to do. And take the opportunity to do what Allah tells us to do. Take care of your family. Start to give them some advice, some guidance, and steer them to the direction so they can appreciate that despite why we're portrayed the way we are or all the struggles Muslims go through, why it's like that, at the end of the day, we are still content and happy and trust Him subhanahu wa ta'ala. I pray that Allah azza wa jal keeps us close to Him, and I pray that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala forgive us of our shortcomings and our mistakes. Allahumma ameen. We send peace and blessings to our Rasul salawatu rabbi wa salamuhu alayhi. كما أمرنا سبحانه وتعالى في تنزيله إن الله وملائكته يصلون على النبي يا أيها الذين آمنوا صلوا عليه وسلموا تسليما اللهم صل على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما صليت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد اللهم اغفر المسلمين والمسلمات والمؤمنين والمؤمنات الأحياء منهم والأموات الأموات إنك قريب سميع مجيب الدعوات اللهم إننا نسألك الجنة وما قرب إليها من قول أو عمل ونعوذ بك من النار وما قرب إليها من قول أو عمل اللهم انصر إخواننا المستضعفين في فلسطين وفي كل مكان يا رب العالمين اللهم انصر إخواننا في فلسطين وفي غزة يا أرحم الراحمين اللهم إننا نسألك الهدى والتقى والعفاف والغنى ربنا آتنا في الدنيا حسنة وفي الآخرة حسنة وقنا عذاب النار سبحان ربك رب العزة عما يصفون وسلام على المرسلين والحمد لله رب العالمين
الله أكبر الله